Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakhanditanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kapaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10 Chapter 58, Krishna marries five princesses. Text 48 through 54. Yes. So we can just do the first, we'll do the first one responsively. The word meanings, Raja of the king, Patnya, the wives, Cha and Duhitu of his daughter, Krishnam, Krishna, Labdha, obtaining, Priyam, dear, Patim, husband, Labhire, they experienced, Parama, the greatest, Anandam, ecstasy, Jataha, there arose, Cha, and, Parama, the greatest, Utsavaha, festivity. Rajapatnyasya duhitu. Krishnam Ladha Priyam Patim Libhire Paramanandam Jatascha Paramotsavaha Rajapatnyascha Duhituhu Krishnam Ladha Priyam Patim Libhire Paramanandam Jatascha Paramotsavaha Rajapatnyascha Duhitu Krishnam Labdha Priyam Patim Libhire Paramanandam Jatascha Paramotsavaha
Thank you. Ladies.
Krishnam Labha Priyam Patim Nihire Paramanandam Jatascha Paramotsava Nayapatnyascha Duhitu Krishnam Labha Priyam Patim Nihire Paramanandam
Translation, the king's wives felt the greatest ecstasy upon attaining Lord Krishna as the dear husband of the royal princess, and a mood of great festivity arose. We can chant together the other verses. Shankabhiryana kane dur gita vajya dvijashusha nara narya pramudita Suvasa Sragalankritaha. Conch shells, horns, and drums resounded, along with vocal and instrumental music and the sounds of brahmanas invoking blessings. The joyful men and women adorned themselves with fine clothing and garlands.
Dashadhenu sahasrani paribarham adabibu yuvatinam trisahasram Nishkagriva Suvasasam Novanaga Sahasani Nagaschata Guran Ratan Ratashchata Guran Aswan Ashwatschata Guran Naran.
As the dowry, powerful King Nagnajit gave 10,000 cows, 3,000 young maidservants wearing golden ornaments on their necks and bedecked in fine clothing, 9,000 elephants, 100 times as many chariots as elephants, 100 times as many horses as chariots, and 100 times as many manservants as horses. Now, in the word for word, it says here, let's see, the arithmetic was done for us. See, 900,000 elephants, right? Or is that, chariots maybe. Let's see, Naga. I didn't know Naga meant elephants, but it does. So let's see, thousands of elephants. Then 100 times more horses than chariots, that's 90 million. And then 100 times more men, that comes out to 9 billion. Okay, text 52.
Dampati ratamaropya mahatya senaya vritao sneha prakvinna ridayo yapayama sa koshala.
The king of Kosala, his heart melting with affection, had the bride and groom seated on their chariot, and then he sent them on their way, surrounded by a great army. 53.
Shutvaita rurudhur bhupa nayantam patikanyakam bhagnavirya sudur marsha yadu virgo vishai pura.
When the intolerant kings, who had been rival suitors, heard what had happened, they tried to stop Lord Krishna on the road as he took his bride home. But just as the bulls had broken the king's strength before, the Yadu warriors broke it now. And finally, text 54.
Tanasyataha sharavratatan bandhu priya kridarjunaha gandhiri kalayamasa singhakshudra mriganiva.
Arjuna, wielder of the Gandiva bow, was always eager to please his friend Krishna. And thus he drove back those opponents who were shooting torrents of arrows at the Lord. He did this just as a lion drives away insignificant animals.
55 also? Okay. Paribarham upakriya dharakamecha satyaya yene rajuna mishraho bhagavan devaki sutaha. Lord Devaki Suta, the chief of the Yadus, then took his dowry and satya to Dwarka and continued to live there happily. I'm going to talk some about Arjuna today and some other things. I'm always curious about when things happened in Krishna's life. So I've done a little research on some of this. You might find some of this interesting. There's a precedent for this. Actually, our acharyas, they, just like we've read recently about some ages of Krishna and what order different things happened. So there's some of this. The acharyas sometimes do this, go into the history of when Krishna was here and when he did what. So I'm going to start with Krishna's life, actually. First, I wanted to mention something that has nothing to do with this exactly, but last time I gave class, I just offhanded mentioned something about the area of Dwarka, how big it was. I said maybe 10 square miles, whatever. So I just threw out a number. Well, I looked it up, actually. Dwarka has a circumference of 12 yojanas. So that means 96 miles. And I went on Google and I plugged it into a formula, and it comes out to 733 square miles. So that's a long ways around, 96 miles. I was thinking if you had a beltway around Dwarka, I-108, and you drove it on your chariot at 60 miles an hour, it would take you an hour and a half to go around. So imagine walking it. Of course, you'd have to walk in water. But so it's a big area, 733 square miles, is Dwarka, if it's round. So now Krishna's life, this is based on Jiva Goswami's Laghu Vaishnav Toshini commentary in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. It was compiled by a devotee named Brijbasi Das. So I'm just relying on his accuracy of this. This is about Krishna's life up to the time he went to Mathura, when he did things, how old he was. So, you know, of course, he killed Putana when he was very young. It's like 6 months or something like that. So then Trinavarta, that was, he was 1 year. 1 year had passed when he killed Trinavarta. Damodar Leela happened when he was 2 years and 2 months old. Then after, so that happened in Gokul, Damodar Leela. Then they moved to Vrindavan. That was just after that, 2 years, 2 months, around that same time. And Krishna began herding the calves, first the calves, then later the cows. He began herding the calves when he was 2 years and 4 to 5 months old. Now we learn from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Krishna matured at 1.5 times the normal. So 2.5 times 1.5, whatever that comes to, that's how old. So he still wasn't even 5 years old, maturely. So that's when he started herding the calves. And then he killed Vatsasura, Bakasura, and Vyomasura at that time, 2 years, 4 to 5 months old. Brahma stole the calves and cowherd boys. Krishna was a little more than 3 years old. All these pastimes, he always seems much older, doesn't he? More mature. You think of that Brahma Vimohan Leela. He's only 3 years old. Of course, he's not old at all, ever, but that's the way. Actually, at that time, it says he had entered his Pauganda age. So he was like a five-year-old. So then he started herding the cows when he was 4 years, 2 months, and 2 weeks old. The Kaliya Leela, Kaliya Damana Leela, 4 years and 10 months. Then he entered his Kaishura age when he was a little more than 6 years old. He killed Denukasura then. And now at that time, actually this says Kaliya, but I think it was around the time of Kaliya is when the gopis started first manifesting their Purva Raga, their initial attraction to Krishna was starting to manifest. So Krishna was only 6 years old then. Denuka, let's see. Then Pralambasura, where's Balaram killed Pralambasura? So Krishna was then 6 years and approximately 10 months. The Venu Gita pastime, Krishna attracting the gopis with his flute, who was 7 years and 1 month old. He lifted Govardhan Hill, 7 years, 2 months, and 7 days. Or Indra came. You have to add another 10 days onto it. Then, let's see. Journey to Varuna's planet, 7 years, 2 months, 18 days. The Brijvasis bathed in Brahma Radha. That's when they saw Vaikuntha. Krishna revealed, not Vaikuntha, but Goloka Vrindavan. 7 years, 2 months, 21 days. That was on Kartik Purnima. The Vastrahalan Leela. Krishna stole the gopis, young gopis' clothes. 7 years, 3 months. Showed mercy to the wives of the brahmanas. 7 years and 10 months. Rasa Leela, 8 years, 1.5 months. Journey to Ambikavan, 8 years, 6 months, and 6 days. Shankachuda killed, approximately 8.5 years. Arishtasura killed, 10 years, 7 months, and 21 days. Keshi killed, 11 years, 6 months, and 4 days. Kamsa killed, 11 years, 6 months, and 6 days. So that's of course, that's the end of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. Now at this time, now Arjuna, I was going to speak about Arjuna. We always hear how they're related, Krishna and Arjuna, they're cousins. So the relationship, first of all, is that Kunti was a daughter of Shurasena. Now Shurasena is Vasudeva's father. So they have the same father. I don't know, they may have different mothers, but they have the same father. So that's how Kunti and Vasudeva are related. They're cousins or cousins, she's his cousin sister, I guess you could say, the Vasudeva. So that's how Krishna and Arjuna are related. She's Krishna's aunt in that way. And Krishna, of course, he was born on Janmashtami, that eighth day of the moon, that month. What month is that? Anyone know? Anyway, just 6 or 7 months later is Palguni Purnima. Everybody knows what happened on Palguni Purnima? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on Palguni Purnima. So that's interesting. Krishna was born on Janmashtami and Arjuna was born on Gaur Purnima. So he was born, whatever that is, 6 or 7 months from that time, Janmashtami to the following Gaur Purnima is when Arjuna was born. So that's their age. So they were relative. They have that relative age. Now, and because of that, Arjuna is in the category of the cowherd boys who are the same age as Krishna. As everything, and especially in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, all these things are analyzed very minutely. So in the Sakya Rasa, the relationship of friends of Krishna, there are those who are the same age as Krishna, and those are called Vayasyas. So Arjuna's in that category, but there are two subdivisions. There are those who live in Vrindavan, and those who are called Pura Sambandini, I think it is, Sambandha, so relationship. Pura means they live in the Pura. They live in the city, the city boys. He has city friends, and he has village friends. So Arjuna is one of these city friends. So what I found quite interesting is that apparently, for one thing, in the Mahabharata, the first time we hear about Krishna and Arjuna together is after the burning of the house of Lakh, and then the Pandavas were in kind of a self-imposed exile. They were hiding out. They hid out for 3 or 4 years, actually. Nobody knew that they were alive. But Krishna knew, of course, so he went to see them. So this is the first time that Arjuna and Krishna, we see them together in the Mahabharata. So at that time, I have a chronology of when these things took place. See if I can find it here. That's on my other sheet. Let's see. The burning of the house of Lakh was when Arjuna was 34 years old. Let me backtrack a little bit. Let me lead up to Arjuna's. So Arjuna, the Pandavas, when Pandu died, Arjuna was 14 years old. And then they moved to Hastinapur. And during that time, from 14 to the time Arjuna was 29, so in those 15 years is when they were trained in the military arts by Dronacharya. So Arjuna was 29 when Yudhishthira was made crown prince. So it was determined that he was going to be the king. I'm not sure why he wasn't made the king. There's probably some story, because 29 years old, you'd think he'd be old enough. But in any case, he was made the crown prince, 29 years old. And this is just around the time when Krishna moved to Dwarka, because Krishna was in Mathura until he was around 29, 30 years old. And that's when he built the Dwarka fort. So Krishna was in Mathura during the time that the Pandavas were in Hastinapur, being trained by Dronacharya. So the House of Lakh, that happened about 5 years after they moved to Hastinapur. So during that whole time, of course, Duryodhan was scheming how to get rid of them, how to kill them. So the House of Lakh, the house was burned up and they escaped. And then during that time when they were in hiding, they disguised themselves as brahmanas and they went to Draupadi's Swayamvar and they won, of course, Arjuna won Draupadi. So after that, when they had their prize, Draupadi, then Krishna arrived on the scene in the potter's shed. And Krishna came there and he introduced himself, actually, to the Pandavas. Now this I found in the, this is from the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, but I found it in a different book. It's referred to there. It's describing, just as we hear about the gopis and their mood of separation, so there are different ways of analyzing that. So the cowherd boys, also those in other relationships, they have this yoga and viyoga. So they're sometimes with Krishna and sometimes they're feeling separation from Krishna. So in that separation, there's two categories. One is before you've ever met Krishna, you're feeling separation. You hear about him and you're longing to be with Krishna. And then after you meet Krishna, then you lose his association somehow, then you're eager to have that association again. That's another kind. So this first kind, before you meet Krishna, this is described as Arjuna. It says here, so this is from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, it's quoted in a different book. When the young Sri Arjuna, the son of Kunti, was studying the Dhanur Veda, he was completely fixed in his training, but upon hearing about the sweet transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna, his mind immediately became very anxious for his darshan. When Arjuna first met lotus-eyed Krishna in the potter's shed of Jupiter Nagar, he was overjoyed to behold the form of Bhagavan, who appeared as beautiful as a painted picture. Thereby Arjuna established friendship with him and thus became Krishna's sakha. So this appears to be the beginning of their relationship. It wasn't until they were both like 37 years old. There's more about that. I won't read this right now. Now, of course, they had, now actually, in the context of that, this is from, I'm not sure if this is from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu or another book, but there's this verse about Arjuna. Who holds the bow Gandiva in his hand, whose thighs are charming like the trunk of the king of elephants, whose beautiful complexion is similar to the best blue lotus, who is seated upon a jeweled chariot along with its driver Krishna, that Arjuna of reddish eyes is radiating quite splendorously. Lounging upon the same bedstead, engaged in confidential joking and laughter, Arjuna unhesitantly considers Krishna his equal. We know in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, oh, he's lamenting, I treated you like an equal, even cutting jokes at your expense. So that's their relationship. It's also said in the Bhagavatam that they would eat together and sleep together. That's pretty intimate when you take naps together. Although Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says Arjuna had conquered sleep. So apparently he didn't have to sleep if he didn't want to. So here's some more of the how their life unfolds, the time of their lives. So Krishna and Arjuna met when they were both around 37 years old. Then finally, according to this list that I have here, they were in exile or self-imposed exile for 4 years. Then they returned to Hastinapur, and then Indraprastha was built. So this is around the time of the things that we're hearing about right now. So Krishna was like that in his mid-30s or so when he married this Kalindi and Mitravinda and Satya. These things happened around this period. And then Yudhishthira was coronated when Arjuna was 44 years old. He was actually made the king. One place I saw a list like this, and the person had added up all the numbers, Yudhishthira actually ruled for something like 76 years. So despite all this intrigue that went on, he actually ruled a lot for quite a long time. So then during this time, sometime between when Arjuna was 44 to 56 and Krishna the same age, this is when Arjuna went in exile for 12 years. And the story is that the Pandavas had an agreement that because five of them were married to one woman, they would never interrupt when she was with one of the husbands. So Arjuna, he had to protect someone, so he had to get his weapons. So even though he knew he was going to have to go into exile for 12 years for doing this, he did it anyway. Because of his chivalry, he had to protect someone and he had to interrupt. I forget, it may have been Yudhishthira who was with Draupadi. And they even said, oh, no, you don't have to do it. Don't worry about it. He said, no, this is the rule. We made this vow. So Arjuna went in on pilgrimage, and say, for 12 years, exile. Of course, all kinds of amazing things happened during that time. He got more weapons. I guess he went to heaven during this time, met Indra. So then during this time also, when Arjuna was 56, he married Subhadra. I got late marriages going on here. And when he was 74 years old, we think, oh, so old, but of course they're all young. From our perspective, we're thinking, but they weren't. In fact, this reminds me of my most things. We hear about Krishna, he's Navayovana. So he returned to... I didn't mention this. During this period, around the time after Yudhishthira's coronation, and somewhere probably before Arjuna's exile, maybe around this time, seems to be when the Kurukshetra eclipse occurred and the meeting at Kurukshetra. So Krishna was maybe in his mid-40s or so. So that means Radharani was too. So we would think, well, Radharani must be Navayovana too, obviously, right? Krishna's going to go there looking 16 and all the gopis are going to look like old ladies? I don't think so. So they met around, Krishna was around that age. So then they ruled at Indraprastha, or Yudhishthira ruled, from the time he was 58 until 74. Arjuna was 58. So for 16 years, Yudhishthira ruled in Indraprastha. And Krishna would visit them there. And then the Rajasuya sacrifice took place. So that means that's what happened at the same time as the Rajasuya sacrifice was when Jarasandha was killed. Because remember, Yudhishthira wanted to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice and he had to conquer everyone. So one of the people that had to be conquered was Jarasandha. So that happened around that same time. So Krishna was around 74 years old then. And then this is just shortly after the Rajasuya, within a matter of months, is when the gambling match took place. And of course they lost everything and then they went into exile and they were in exile for 13 years. So when they came out of exile, now Arjuna is 87 years old after this. And around this time, Uttara and Abhimanyu were married. Now Uttara was the daughter of Duryodhana, right? And Abhimanyu was Krishna's grandson. So they were married around this time. Krishna was grandfather, 87. And then when Arjuna was 89 years old, which means Krishna was too, approximately, that's when the battle of Kurukshetra took place. So I'll just, you know, it's quite an extended period here after they met when they're, you know, in their 30s, where there was a lot of opportunity. In fact, when Krishna returns to, after the battle of Kurukshetra, when Krishna returns to Dwarka, the ladies are lamenting, oh, you're always leaving us. You're always going here and there, and we always have to suffer such separation. So one place he kept going was to visit his friends, the Pandavas in Hastinapur. So this was, Krishna was 89, approximately 90 years old, Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna and Arjuna. Still looking 16, at least Krishna was. And then 36 years later is when Krishna closed out his pastimes and the Pandavas also. So there's that period, 36 years after the Battle of Kurukshetra, when Krishna was still ruling Dwarka and the Yudhisthira was still ruling. And then, of course, there was a curse of Samba. One thing interesting about Samba in that pastime, the pastime of the fake pregnancy of Samba, how they were cursed by the Brahmanas. As far as I can tell, there's a verse in the Bible. I was trying to figure out, when did this happen exactly? When did this curse take place? Did it happen earlier or later? There's a verse in the Bhagavatam that makes it sound as if the curse took place after the Battle of Kurukshetra. So if that's true, then Samba was he was in his 60s or 80s or something. He was an old, he wasn't a kid, Samba. Somehow it sounds like he was playing around with the kids when this joke took place. It seems that way from the things that I found. They have a picture of him as a boy. Yeah, but from this Bhagavatam verse, it sounds like it happened after the curse took place later. Anyway, I'm not 100% sure about that. So, so this is their, of course, their relationship, Krishna and Arjuna. There's so many wonderful aspects of it. We talk here, I'm ending on this, the disappearance. We had the chapter of Krishna's disappearance in the Bhagavatam and how Arjuna is so lamenting. One thing that also seems like from reading that, it appears as if Vidura, we know that Vidura went on pilgrimage before the Battle of Kurukshetra, and it seems like from the Bhagavatam that he doesn't return until till the end, just around the time he preaches to Dhritarashtra, then Dhritarashtra finally leaves. It seems as if, and Arjuna was gone during that time. He was visiting Krishna. So when Vidura was preaching to Dhritarashtra, it seems as if Vidura was on pilgrimage for this whole period of time, like 36 years. And Arjuna was in Dwarka for 7 months before he returned. He was visiting Krishna in Dwarka. And then, well, during that time, Krishna left this world. It's quite interesting in the Bhagavatam that Vidura, he knew about it because he had spoken to Maitreya and Uddhava. He had spoken to Uddhava specifically, and he knew what had happened at Prabhas. He knew of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty and of Krishna leaving this world. But when he went to Hastinapur, he didn't say anything about it. You think, wow, that was amazing. He didn't say anything about it. Krishna left the planet. The Pandavas they've all disappeared. But the verse in the Bhagavatam says something like, because bad things come in their own time, or something like that. So he didn't say it. But then, of course, then Yudhisthira starts seeing all these inauspicious omens, and then Arjuna arrives, and he tells him what's gone, what has taken place, how he couldn't even defeat some cowherd men. He was tasked with taking care of Krishna's wives. Imagine mighty Arjuna is protecting all the wives and these cowherds with simple bows and arrows made of wood or something. They come and they steal all of Krishna's wives. Of course, it's all Krishna's leela. That's what it's about. Krishna is withdrawing his associates from the world to relieve the burden of the world. So Arjuna had many wonderful pastimes with Krishna, so intimate with him. And then at the end, therefore, he's lamenting so much in his separation. So here it's nice to see how his friend is arriving, because Arjuna wasn't in town. Earlier in this chapter, it's described how Arjuna gave Krishna leave after he had visited him for some time, and taken Kalindi, he went back to Dwarka to marry her. So Krishna went back to Dwarka. And then later, these other pastimes, this Nagdajati pastime takes place later. So Krishna and Arjuna aren't together at that time. But Arjuna arrives on the scene. The Yadus arrive, led by Arjuna. And he's there for his friend Krishna in his so-called time of need. So this is, I always think how there are so many biographies in our books. You could write so many, tracing out the history of so many devotees and their connection with Krishna. Maybe someday somebody will have a series like that, all the personalities in Krishna's Lila. Could be quite an encyclopedia, their relationship with Krishna. So I'll stop here. Hope there was something usable in that. I'll just read one verse. Read the first verse. Krishna's, the king's wives, this is King Nugnajit's wives, felt the greatest ecstasy upon attaining Lord Krishna as the dear husband of the royal princess, and a mood of great festivity arose. And we hear all of the great festival. It's described about Lord Varaha. After Lord Varaha, when he disappeared, it says he returned to his home in Vaikuntha, where there is always an uninterrupted festival. That's the spiritual world. The festivals never stop. So we see in Krishna's Leela also so many times there's a festival after something wonderful happens. Oh, any questions or comments? Maharaj?
Yeah, I mean, this also comes up even in a greater magnitude with the, was it Ugrasena's bodyguards, that he had quadrillions, and a quadrillion is 1,000 trillion, and billion, but 9 billion is not a little. We're hearing how the dowry, everything was 100 more and 100 more, so and then you get up to manservants, and there were 9 billion, and that's a little more than how many humans they say that are on the Earth planet right now. So how are we supposed to process this information? I mean, we have to accept it. It's not an allegory. We have to accept it literally. So do you have any suggestions how we could make sense of it, or should we just not try to make sense of it?
Well, I'm not sure if we have to accept it literally always. Now, Srila Prabhupada does present things very literally, but our acharyas sometimes take things in other ways. In fact, I was just reading Jiva Goswami, for example. Here we have the word sahasra. So Jiva Goswami says the word sahasra just means lots and lots and lots, big number. It can literally mean 1,000, but it doesn't necessarily always mean that. So sometimes there may be some hyperbole there. Just like, you know, you're fired up, you start talking, and you say, wow, just millions of people came to the temple today. It was so crowded. So that kind of thing may be there in the bhava of the devotees who are speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's one way to look at it. Now, another way to look at it is, of course, now this took place and didn't take place in a dham. For me, I find it's easier if we're talking about the dham, and you say, well, of course, Dwarka dham, you can put quadrillion, not a problem, because it's unlimited spiritual world. But when you talk about outside the dham in the ordinary world, then it's difficult to understand these things. I guess one way to look at it is that, well, I'm not going to worry about it because I can't figure it out. Even when that King Chitraketu, I think, what, 10 million wives? And what? How could you have 10 million wives? No wonder none of them were pregnant. How could you see them all?
Yeah, well, but the number 9 billion, that's what we get in the translation, so it seems like for some reason that's a number we have to try to digest, and it's it's quite a...
My answer, I don't have a clue.
This is called the hermeneutics of how to understand scripture. You know, how it could.
I'm always thinking of compiling all the things I don't have an answer to. 108 questions I don't have an answer to. They're more like 1,008. Or maybe 1,000,000,008. So many things. I was just hearing the other day. I was always amazed that in our cell, in our body, I've heard that we have some trillion, I forget what it is, 2 trillion, 3 trillion cells, something like that. So a trillion is a huge number. Then I heard just recently, someone said, this person has this some philosophy of how our body is a community of something, I forget, you know, some concoction about what human life is. So he said that there are 20 trillion bacteria in our bodies. So all those living entities are here in this body, and I'm the one conscious soul with a human life, so imagine how rare. And that's just in one body. There's one verse in the Bhagavatam in the sixth canto that says there are many living entities as there are atoms in the universe. So when I think of that, I think, how do you get a human birth? It just seems impossible by the numbers. But, well, labdha sudulabham idam bahusam bhavante, we have to take what the scripture tells us. It is possible, somehow or other. It happens. So these, sometimes in writing, I read books about writing and editing, and so there's a lot of times I read examples of good writing, and they talk about, you know, helping people picture things. So one scientist, he was helping people understand how much space there is in space, how far separated the planets are in the universe. And he said if you took three grains of sand and put them into a cathedral, they'd be more crowded than the planets are in the universe. At least this is their idea. So there's so many, even materially there are so many, we can't even get our minds around these things, really. What they mean when you use a number, billion or trillion, it's just amazing. So what are we? We're so tiny, our brains can't grasp so many of these things. So that's why we have to just rely on Shabda and accept and try to purify our hearts so that someday we can. These things will be revealed. Madamati?
I heard one time Radha Govinda Maharaj's class, he was saying that Krishna spent most of his time, like the most amount of time he spent with somebody was Arjuna.
Mm.
But then it was, when you were saying that he didn't see him till he was 37, and I was thinking, wow, I mean, they are cousins, and so that was a little strange, you know, information. Another clarification, you mentioned that Uttara was Duryodhana's daughter.
Isn't that right?
I don't know, for some reason I'm thinking she is with Virat, you know, King Virat's.
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else, right? Somebody who married?
Lakshmana. Yeah.
Lakshmana was married who?
To
Samba.
Samba.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's why I got them confused. Right. Uttara is the daughter of King Virat.
Yeah, I think.
The sister of Uttama. His name is Uttara also.
Yeah.
And she's Uttara.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that was during their exile time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Actually, you said you were quoting Radha Govinda Maharaj. I was thinking it seems like he had more association with Uddhava than anybody else. In fact, I was just reading that Krishna and Uddhava were practically never separated. When Krishna was in Dwarka, they were always together. So, it's anyway. So,
yeah, when I was thinking about that, how come
he had so much?
He sent Uddhava to give the message to the gopis, and then I was thinking, well, you know, Arjuna was such an intimate associate of Krishna, or if you spend the most of the time with him. So anyway, these kind of thoughts were thinking, and you're bringing Uddhava in the picture, and I was thinking, well, I guess he didn't see him until he was 37, and anyway, also different relationship.
When Krishna was in Mathura, just around that time when he sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, that's when he sent Akrura to Hastinapur to check on how the Pandavas were doing. So apparently, from what I say, they hadn't met yet. Krishna hadn't even met the Pandavas yet at that time. According to the Mahabharata, anyway. Mara? Right, even myself.
Not anyone, not Balaram, not myself, not anyone. That includes Arjuna. Maybe Krishna was just getting very emotional at that moment or something, but that's also there.
Yeah, certainly we know Krishna calls Arjuna his Sakha, his friend, in the Bhagavad Gita. So he said, I'm telling you all these things because we're such friends. Well, Uddhava is considered higher in the hierarchy of devotees than Arjuna. His relationship with Krishna is more intimate. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.